Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
It's massive when you consider the environment, ecology, the things in most of our lifetimes, just the massive number of issues that the world is facing. Here's just some of them. This ecological chaos manifests itself. It's been sort of front page, front cover stories in magazines like The Time, the Global Warming Survival Guide. We see it in massive pollution. I don't know what pictures of pollution come to your mind. I know as a kid, with one side of our family being brought up in northwest Tasmania, I can still remember just that terrible sight of the pollution that came out at Burnie from the paper mills there. Anyone ever seen that before it was cleaned up? It was just a vast area of the sea that had this red-brown coloration in it. You'll see lots of other areas that drive through countryside, just wanton destruction of forest and trees and then consequential erosion. Remember the first time that we went to Italy many years back now, up in the Italian lakes. Probably got to be a bit careful with this data. It might have just been climatic conditions, but the sky was pretty clear. Wind the clock forward 20 years, go back now, gone back a number of times. Maybe there are some clear days, but they're few and far between, just with this extraordinary smog and pollution haze from the industrialisation that's happened through Western Europe and then especially through Eastern Europe. So many examples of massive pollution. That's not even to mention some of the terrible consequences that we've seen through Papua and New Guinea. What about extinction of species? The World Conservation Union is now monitoring the status of 41,500 species where there is conservation concern. Of that 41,500, 16,000, just over 16,000, were considered to be threatened with extinction just a few years ago. They're big numbers. Break it down this way. One in four species of mammals, one in eight species of birds, one in three species of amphibians, seven in 10 species of all assessed plants. Each one of these is a massive topic in itself, and all I'm trying to do is just really do a helicopter view of the issues that the world is facing. Carbon emissions, which we'll look at on a couple of videos. Destruction of habitats. Habitat destruction, what is it? It's the process in which the natural habitat is rendered functionally unable to support the species present in it. In that process, organisms that previously used the site are displayed or they're displaced or they're destroyed, reducing biodiversity. Habitat destruction by human activity, mainly for the purpose of harvesting natural resources for industry production and urbanisation. Clearing habitats for agriculture is the principal cause of habitat destruction. What about ozone depletion? Ozone depletion, it describes two distinct but related phenomena, and these have been observed since the 1970s. On the one hand, there's been this steady decline of about 4% per decade in the total volume of ozone in the Earth's stratosphere. It's called the ozone layer. And on top of that, there's a much larger springtime decrease in the stratospheric ozone over the Earth's polar regions. You will have heard about this and the causes. Chemical products called CFCs are referred to as ozone-depleting substances. What happens is that the ozone layer prevents harmful UVB wavelengths of ultralight passing through to the Earth's atmosphere. As you deplete that ozone layer, of course, these destructive UV wavelengths come through, with lots of biological concerns. Skin cancer, cataracts, damage to plants, a reduction of plankton populations in the ocean's photic zone or photic zone may result from this increased UV exposure. The ozone, so-called ozone hole, this was shot back in 2006. over the Antarctic. That's an area of 10.6 million square miles of a hole in the ozone layer. What about deforestation? In highly developed Western countries, about 90% of all forest has been depleted or disappeared due to urbanisation and agriculture. Around the world, 80% of the world's forests have been cleared or compromised by human development. And the effects of this are enormous. The effects of this deforestation and climate change are felt worldwide. They're seen in very cold, polar and low-lying areas susceptible to flooding. These effects include extreme weather, flooding, drought, as well as warming leading to environmental change. And then, of course, there's climate change itself, which we'll see a little bit more on videos. Here's one from the World Meteorological Organization, just seeking to split out La Nina impacts. But if you look at this through from 1950 through to 2010, so about 60 years, a significant change in what's happening, if you like, with the average temperature around the world. You can be as sceptical as you like. These are significant trends. And the question is, well, where actually is the world with respect to these changes? Is it in the very high danger area, or has it already moved into the catastrophic region? And the question for us then is, where does God fit into this debate, discussion? Where does Christian faith fit into it? Where does Christian practice, where does Christian theology sit with ecology and the care for the environment? Put it another way, is Christian faith green, or is Christian faith environmentally destructive? The environmental movement regularly, often, loudly puts the blame for what's happening quite squarely at the feet of the so-called Christian West. Some years ago, back in the in 1967, there was a very significant essay that was written by a guy called Lynn White. He was a professor of medieval studies at Princeton University. This essay, called The Historical Roots of Our Ecological Crisis, this has become a significant document in people asserting that Christianity is actually one of the principal causes for this ecological chaos in the world. He asserted that Christianity, especially the way it developed in the Middle Ages, is the main reason for our ecological crisis. Why does he say that? Well, he goes back to Genesis 1, verse 28, where God says to mankind, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And White takes that and says, this is what's caused the problem. And so the environmental movement today, because it takes an interpretation of ruling as in destructive, aggressive exploitation. The environmental movement today largely accepts this view, that Christianity and its hierarchical view of the superiority of humans is to blame. And if you don't have to go too far when you look at political movements such as the Australian Greens, that on the one hand there's this strong agenda on environmental protection, but certainly with a view that Christianity is part of the problem. And that's why it's not surprising in a party concerned about the environment that they also speak so much about anti-Christian priorities in the areas of human sexuality, abortion, euthanasia, which we're going to look at next Sunday night, and religious education in schools. So if you like, in one corner, there's a group of people that says the principal problem, a significant contributor to the disaster that's unfolding in the world, is Christianity. But in the other corner, there's actually what God says. God, the maker of heaven and earth. God, the creator and sustainer of this universe. And that's what we're going to look at soon. I want to give you just four simple resources, biblical resources, scriptural resources, which hopefully as you meditate on them will turn you, if you're not already, into very motivated and passionate conservationist and environmentalist. Well, that's what we're looking at tonight.